Come on up. David and Debbie, for the whole church, we kind of wanted to, one of the things we wanted to say was like, this is a bit of a process, just sort of this re-entry for them and kind of discovering, you know, hey, what did God do? Where are we at? You know, what's, how are you guys doing? And so this kind of kickstarts that a little bit, if that makes sense. All right, so the first question that I had actually, and so overall, you guys don't really know what I'm going to ask you. I definitely don't know what you're going to say. So this is going to be 100% genuine. But the first question you do know that I was going to ask, and that really is just like, remind us, like, what is the sabbatical thing? Like, why did you go on this at all? What's it about? For people who are like, what in the world is sabbatical? They've heard us talk about it. They don't know. What was it? I think it's on.
Make sure I'm on. There I am.
There we go.
Well, sabbaticals are traditionally a time for pastors to get away and rest and get re-envisioned, you know, kind of for what's next. And we took a 3 months, and when we set this up to do it, we had heard from our national leader that he'd taken a 3 month, and they kind of laid out their months in a particular way, and I thought that was a good idea, so we did it. Our first month, we rested. Our second month, we reflected back. We looked back on all the places we'd been and some of the ministry we'd done and just seen what God had done in, you know, all our years of 30-some years of ministry. And then the last month, we looked forward. So kind of, you know, what re-envisioning, what are we doing? So that was kind of the idea. Any other questions?
Yeah, so, I mean, you've been in full-time ministry. You've been pastors for a long time. I mean, even just at this church for over 20 years. Like, why now? Like, what was the impetus?
You know, one thing is that it was a gift from you guys. I think we thought we would love that, but it seemed, you know, like you just don't ask for that sort of thing. I probably should have, but at our 20th anniversary, they gave it to us, and I remember just thinking, wow. And then I thought, it's from God, take it in. So I thought, this is going to be great. So I was funny because there's other times I've been tremendously tired and exhausted and in great pain. And quite honestly, for us, we kind of needed the church. You know, we needed the church around us, even though we were leading. And this was a little different because we were at a really good spot, but we felt like just the pace and slowing down, you can hear God in different ways. You can't see things till you get a little ways from them. So
yeah.
That's why we love you guys. It wasn't that we didn't want to come to church. It's that it gave us a space to be able to see from a different perspective. And it gives you a chance for God to talk to you in ways you couldn't have before.
Yeah.
In fact, the only hard part about this whole sabbatical was you guys.
Yeah.
Missing you. It was just hard. We drove around the church on Sundays. I think, are they having service? Oh, it's first service. Oh, it's... We just missed you guys. You're our family.
Yeah, we had sightings at garage sales and stuff, and
we
it's like
a
highlight of our day. Like, hey, it's good to see you. So, and at the conference, it was great seeing everybody. So it was really, it didn't like, oh, gosh, there's those people. It was like, oh, there's our family.
Yeah, we had to hold back from coming a couple weeks.
So it sounds like you're not leaving the church. Is that true?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. Unless you kick us out.
We've been to lots of churches, and we love every church. We loved every one of them. We have great connections. Oh, there are great churches out there. I'm going to say that. But I'm telling you, we just said, I love that. That was great. Cool. We got to start thinking that. They do that better than us. But then we thought, we want to go back to our church. So that was a really good feeling because you're out there with some really great churches, and you still know, wow, this is really our family in a way that we didn't even know how deep it was.
Awesome. So you mentioned kind of the format of the 3 months was to rest and then kind of review or reflect the second month and the third month to sort of re-envision. Can I start with the third one, actually? Would that be all right? Okay. So, all right, there you go. So when we think about that kind of re-envisioning and what happened just here, I guess, most recently, what's something that just stands out as like something God may have said to you or something that, you know, something that was particularly significant during that time?
Well, a lot of, it's, you know, you have these 3 months, but they all blur together. There's things that's a great little format, but the thing is lots of things happen all at one time. Mm-hmm. And the whole time I felt like that God was just talking to us we had a lot of prophetic words, and they were, in my mind, I thought, come on, give me some meat here, because they're like...
Before we left.
Yeah, before we left, like, you're going to have fun. You're gonna stroll around, and God's going to bring you things. You're going to have lots of joy. And they were consistent all the way through. And we said, oh, you know, what's he going to work on? What's he going to talk to us about? What's he going to bust in us, you know, and change us around? And it was really kind of a stroll where God brought stuff to us and then communicated to us. And so the last, I say this, as far as re-envisioning is... Lots. I'm going to be processing a lot. One word we got when we were at Mark and Gail's, who are sending pastors, was this whole thing of don't go in fast, go in slow, observe, wait, don't jump in, let these things form that I've done in you. So we have lots cooking. The things that I can say that I'm very excited about is kind of, I feel like this whole thing of community that we have, this authentic relationship, I've always seen it as kind of a nice, cool, amazing thing that I love deeply. I'm seeing how much that's God. That is the basis and the foundation for the Holy Spirit coming in a way we need, in a kind of a new way. And so I can see this mixture of authentic family and God coming into that in this powerfully relational way, at a level we haven't seen before. So that's a lot of what I see that I believe God's going to be doing. And so it doesn't look like we become a different kind of church. It just becomes the place of understanding that we're the body and everybody starts participating even more. So we just realized community is a big community. We just kept anything more than that.
That's really interesting because, I mean, really that's been the basis of what you've been doing here for all these years is, you know, really exploring what it means to be in relationship, what it means to be in community, how to do that, right?
Right.
And yet, it sounds like what you're saying is that, like, God's got even more in that. Is that kind of where what it
seems
like?
Yeah, I think that I was listening to a podcast of Carol Wimber, who was the wife of the founder of the Vineyard, and she's seen everything. And they asked her in the podcast, you've seen everything. What is it that you want to say to the Vineyard? I thought, I'm going to listen closely to this. This is someone I want to hear. What is it they need to understand that God has given them? Or something like that. And she said, the authority of the believer. That the believer have the authority of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And that they are the body of Christ. And when she said that, it just resonated like, that's it. It's the place that we are all part of this thing, and that God has given each of us an authority of the believer. Because we've gone to a lot. Now, get me wrong. I love the churches we've gone to, but I could say the average person having confidence to press into me, or to say how are you doing, or to greet me in this kind of confident way, because they know that God comes through them, was not near at the level that I see in our church. And it wasn't critical, but I just thought, oh my gosh, I can come here and I have five people sometimes come up to me and speak into my life. Yeah. And I think, this is really unusual. I didn't know, you know. And so that was really a big thing. I saw that everywhere you go. And so, I saw how community, the power of community with all the connections we had.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let me go back to something you said a little bit ago about, you know, just this whole thing being a gift, and you know, you're sort of like wondering, you know, God, what are you gonna hit me with? I mean, that is like kind of legitimate, right? I mean, you've been following Jesus for a long time. You know, God wants to change you on the inside. We say that a lot, and sometimes that involves things that are more painful, and but then sometimes you kind of get almost used to that, right? Like that God's always like out to change something, and here you are, you know, during the sabbatical, and it sounds like he's gave you just a lot of good gifts, things to just kind of enjoy, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Debbie, can you tell us a little bit about like some of those gifts and some things that you enjoyed out of that?
Well, I have to say, just slightly to back up, I'm much like David, and then when I went into this, I mean, for 6 months I was praying, okay, God, what are you going to talk to me about? It's like I want to have my lesson plan laid out ahead of time, you know? And every time I prayed, I felt like he said, you don't get to decide. You're just coming on this with me. So I kind of went in with that, and then we got these words about faith and joy, and so I'm like, all right, well, let's just enjoy it. So we did. And then as things were going on, we'd get these gifts like, can I go into one of my stories?
Yeah, please.
About June. So in June, we went back to Topeka, where we lived for a long time. And David led a Bible study when he was a single guy. And then when he was dating me, and then we were married. So it was 5 or 6 years we decided. We gathered a bunch of the people from that Bible study. And we just said, let's meet together and talk about what God did in our lives back then. And so it was just so encouraging. And believe it or not, we've recollected now over this time that often what we heard in all these places where we gathered with people from our past, that this community thing came up for them. Part of it was we belonged to something, we cared for one another, we were in each other's lives, we encouraged each other to grow in our relationship with God. So that was kind of a cool underlying. So we get to this one first meeting, and there's a couple gals who I had, you know, like, I'm 62 now, but in my early 20s, a couple of gals I lived with and were really, you know, my best friends. We were believers. We were going to this Bible study. We were encouraging each other in our faith, and I've lost track of them over the years. We've moved. Both of them had divorced and moved away. Anyway, long story short, they both showed up to this meeting. And I just can't tell you what a gift from God it was. It was like we restored our relationship. They just came to see us. This one girl walks in, and I didn't know she was coming. We thought she lived farther away. She was my roommate that I lived with when I got married and engaged to David. And she goes, I just was tired of looking at your family on Facebook. I thought, I have to come see you. And, I mean, the whole night we just hugged each other. You know what I mean? She'd be talking to someone. I'd be talking to someone. She'd just come up, put her arm around me, and say sweet things like, oh, I miss your laugh, and I miss your voice, and I mean, just these things that fed my heart that I never expected to happen. Just these relationships that had been gone for 20 plus years, just, I don't know, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, David? Yep.
Yeah, there's so many different times. The best way to describe it, I've told this to other people, is that there's sometimes nice things happen. You think, oh, good, you know, that was a good steak or whatever, you know, and it's just like a good circumstance. There's other times that these things happen, even especially relationally, and you kind of know God did it for you. It's very different. It's good. God's in all those things, but sometimes you're more aware that he's in all those things. And I just had so many times where it was like gifts, just, you know, people would come up and say things that just brought this. I mean, just to give you an example, we'll start with one that's not quite as personal, but, you know, I'm in Denver, and I'm, you know, in this conference, which is a long story, but anyway, I'm double dipping. I'm going to both conferences because God gave me a gift at the last minute. Palo Alto called me and said, we have a hotel. You got to come out. We'll put furniture to the car. And I was waiting.
Oh, I didn't
waiting.
Know that. So that was like,
yeah,
not...
I wasn't planning on going because it's too expensive. And
so we had just for context. Yeah. So we, every couple of years, the Vineyard has a national conference. And this year they actually did it, like they split the country and did two. So 1 week was in Ohio. Some of us were at that one and got to see them there. But then the next week was in Denver. So you were sort of like,
I was thinking about it. It sounds
high in the sky. Oh, it would be interesting to go, but you actually went.
Yeah. And I wasn't planning until very like the day before they called me, and also they grabbed a flight and kind of worked out and got there. So. And it was just like, that was a gift. So all of a sudden I'm there, and I've already heard all the teachers, so I had this flexibility of just coming in and out, and there's so many people I knew there. And so, like, you know, the thing would be like the very first night, you know, this is the kind of stuff that would happen. It's hard to put into words what this, it wasn't like as spectacular in the natural, but like I get done with the meeting, and there's a gal here, her name's Anita Mitchum, who lived in our house for a while, who now is in Denver, and all of a sudden I look up, and right around me, just and there's, you know, thousands, there's quite a few people at this conference. And all of a sudden I look up, and Anita Mitchum's there, just glowing and wanting to hug me. And then Reagan Engelman, who's now on leadership of Colorado Springs Vineyard Church, who was 12 years old at our church plant, was standing there with their team. And then Gary Stokes, the guy who replaced me in Palo Alto, was right in front of me. And Cindy Nicholson and Ron Giles, who's now the pastor of Palo Alto, they were all around, and we were just in one spot. And we just connected. And it was just like, it showed kind of all the history, you know, just like in one shot. Like, I thought I'd just show off here and put everybody here and say, God has been good to you. Okay, I'll take that in, right? And that kind of stuff happened. I'd go to
one time I went to the restroom, and I'm coming out, and this guy stops me in the hall room as I'm leaving the restroom. He goes, "Dave, I got to just tell you." He said, "I was at your church with HLI, and your church, during the, they let us lead the youth group, and God started coming on me, and he began praying for me, and I was called to be a youth pastor, and I'm now a youth pastor in Colorado. I just want to tell your church thank you for this." You know, stuff just, I was at the meeting, and all of a sudden someone who I hadn't seen for years, who I thought lived in Oregon, came in, and it was one of my better friends that I hadn't seen for a long time, and his brother was there as well, and he's the first person I led to Christ. I mean, just people that, so I can't go into it, but there's just that kind of thing over and over.
Not even all stuff that you planned, really.
It was just that kind of thing where I was able to be, I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't pushing forward, and all of a sudden things were coming my direction. So,
Wow. So God really delivered on the word, I guess. Right? There was a lot of gifts in there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, you talked a little bit about it already, but as far as that reflection and kind of, you know, reviewing things, you talked about community definitely being, you know, a strong emphasis in relationships and all that. Were there other things that kind of, you know, came up as you reflected on the last, I don't know, how many years did we say? 40, 30,
yeah,
40 years?
It's been 30-some. We've been married 39, and he was doing Bible study before that,
time.
Other things that, I mean, I remember at the time thinking these sound silly, but since then it feels like God has said to me, everything counts. Like, we'd be sitting in this group of people from church, and one of the gals would go, "I remember when you helped me make a grapevine wreath, and I still have it, and I decorate it every season and think about you." At the time, you're like, "Yeah, whatever." But I think, I mean, when someone mentions that to you and you haven't seen them in 25 years, it makes me think, you just don't know what little things you do and how they impact people's lives. I mean, we heard all kinds of spiritual things, but I'm just telling you now, even a wreath, or someone else mentioned to me, because I used to have a lot more time and energy and do a lot more crafty things, I would gather these girls and we'd wrap all our presents together around Christmas time, you know, all your family's gifts, and we'd do these little fun decorations. Someone goes, "I remember you teaching me how to wrap presents." But kind of thinking, I can't toss that. I mean, that was a gift from God, and it meant, our relationship meant something. And of course, you chat while you're doing that. And again, so...
Yeah. You know,
I think, does that make any sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, it is. I mean, you're talking about the authority of the believer, right? And so, like, a lot of times, God asks us to just put ourselves in situations and in relationships, and you don't always know, like, why or what you're doing there necessarily, right? And you don't always ever know, right? But sometimes you get the chance to find out some things.
There was a guy who walked into our first meeting. Dave and I still do not know his name, barely recognized his face. He told, they walked up to Dave and said, "I came to your Bible study a long time ago," and he was there a short period. We can't remember, a month, a summer, a year, while he was in school. And he said, "That time was just so foundational and formational. I just, when I heard this was happening, I had to come and tell you. And I'm a pastor now of a small church outside Topeka." And you're just like, you don't know.
You don't even know them.
Right.
You don't even know their name.
If you're listening to this, teaching, I do love you, though.
So. Yep.
But, I mean, I just want to encourage you guys. It's not just us. It's you. Everything you do. I mean, we're all priests, right?
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time around here. So.
Well, you're telling us, you know, I mean, that's the story from when you were very, very young, right?
Not young.
Not nearly as gifted and as you
wise,
are now.
Wise.
Yeah. Experienced.
Right.
I'll try not to use other words.
Stupid. Radical.
God works through that too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and in fact, it was kind of cool because there was lots of moments where I was, I was able to say to people what this one thing impacted. And you've heard my story a lot about when I was coming to Christ, and all a bunch of other ex dope smokers were kind of ahead of me. They became Christians. They were hanging around my house, and they could spot when I was high, but yet were really kind to me, and how much that drew me into to God. And one guy I talk about a lot, his name's Chuck. You may even heard his name. Well, he came, and he's a retired banker now. And I was able to say, Chuck, I'm telling you, do you remember at our house? No, not really. Do you remember you were kind to me? No, I was a jerk. No, you weren't. You may have been a jerk in your mind, but you were God's love to me. And you, and because you did this, you're part of me coming to Jesus. And I had to tell him 3 or 4 times before he'd take it in. But it's just, we saw that the way this whole thing of community, the things are happening by people just simply stepping out in something that they're thinking. We saw evidence of this to the point that, you know, after all these years, we had food at this thing and no one even ate it because everybody was just filled with joy to be around each other. And they were like brothers and sisters, which I guess they were, right? They're brothers and sisters in Christ, but you could tell it felt like brothers and sisters coming back together. And I thought, awesome. I think community really should be part of our name, you know?
It went both directions, right? You were able to hear about impacts to you, but you were able to share some to others.
And it was like this. It was like, you know, the DNA of the Father is passed down. I mean, we're made in God's image. So these people we'd have all these years, sometimes 30, 40 years, we'd be catching up with them, and we'd start talking, and we had different journeys, but we had the same Father that taught us things, and we, like, knew each other. It was so amazing that we could just pick up, not because we had kept up, mm-hmm. but because we had the same God developing us out and showing us who he was. And that was like, this is amazing that we've been gone this long and we can pick up so much. And we just went right back to open our lives to each other. So
that's awesome.
Cool.
Let me, if I can bring it up to the more towards the present here. So in July, we mentioned we were at a national conference in Ohio together. So I actually I don't really know what happened, but you just mentioned in the room over there, Debbie, that you received some healing. Is that, are we able to talk about that or?
Yes.
Okay.
You were a part of that.
I don't know if it was that or something else.
No, you
were. I'm really interested to know now.
You know, you all know I have all these different medical things going on and my ankle was being, you know, healed just by time and stuff. But we got there and I always want prayer. I always want God to do stuff inside my body. Because I'd like to run and leap someday. I'll see if that happens. But so Caleb had mentioned to me a couple times, have you gotten prayer for your, you know, and we got prayer about other things. In fact, one of the cool stories for us at the conference, before I do my healing story,
sure.
We were sitting in our chairs and a couple we knew from, they were area leaders with us several years ago now, maybe 8 or 10, and it's been 7 or 8. They kind of climbed over chairs to find us. And just started praying for us once. And we just love them because, you know, when you do life together and all that. But we haven't really talked to them in some time. And they started praying over us, and they didn't know we were on sabbatical. They didn't have a clue what was going on with us. And the stuff they said just hit. It was like, you're coming into this new season, and God wants to give you gifts, and you guys are solid in your identity, and all these things, and we were just blown away. It was so encouraging. Just so encouraging to know that God saw us and could bring people to speak into our lives.
It never gets old, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, no way. Never gets old. So then it was the very last night of the conference, and Caleb came up to me and brought a guy.
Right.
I guess he prayed for him or something. He goes, Debbie, is anyone praying? No. He goes, well, I got to go get my kids, but here's a guy. He wants to pray for you to be healed. I'm like, cool. So he started praying for me, and at the time... I've been having some problems with allergies this summer, like I've never had. And my left eye had been seeping.
Ugly.
We won't go into the details about what it was seeping, but it was not pretty.
Not great.
And I'd had to have a tissue like this for 2 or 3 days. And I was in my glasses, and he just started praying for me. And he goes, well, what should I pray for? I'm like, well, where do we start on the list? So, well, this is seeping. It'd be nice if that stopped. And then a couple other things. So I prayed for my kidneys and my ankle and my seeping eye. And we get all done, some other things. And I think someone from our church had joined him. And we get all done, and I look up, and I never touched a Kleenex to my eye from that minute on. Never.
Wow.
It was totally healed.
Awesome.
And I'd have been having some internal pains from my kidneys. They totally stopped. My ankle felt like it made a significant leap that night. Just could walk, and it just felt different. And then the next morning, it's like these gifts God gives. It's like... we don't deserve. He's just so kind. I get up the next morning, silly little things men will not be able to relate to, but I had tried to shove too big of an earring in my ear a couple weeks before. So my earring was...
Some men can relate to that.
I know.
Not me.
And it was sore, and it'd been oozing. You know, it gets that thing on the back, and you're like, do I just wear... Okay, the women get it. So I get up the next morning, and I go to put my earring in, and I'm like, Dave, my ear got healed. I'm serious. Did I say that to you?
Yeah, we're pastors, so we should not be surprised.
No,
but
what
I'm just saying is we often are, you know, we don't quickly be convinced, and so this is like
you're especially skeptical.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical.
So I say I got a bunch of body healing with a little perk.
Yeah, it's right.
That's my story.
Yeah. That's awesome. We are running out of time, as I knew we would be. We didn't really talk about the beginning, which was just kind of like stopping, right? I mean, you're kind of going, you're doing your thing, and you know the sabbatical's coming, but quite frankly, I mean, this place was a physical mess right up to and including today, actually, but right up to the point that you left. So there's a lot going on. What was it like to just, you know, what was it, May 1, right? Just stop.
Well, for one thing, it took about 2 or 3 weeks for me to go, this is real. You know, cause you get up and you're like, yeah, you're on vacation. You know, because you take a week vacation or a 2 week vacation.
That feels familiar.
And the whole
right.
time you're like waiting to get back. And about the third weekend, Dave and I go, we have unending not going back yet. And it was amazing. So we slept a lot. We took some vacations in May. We had some sweet times with family. Yeah. David had a weekend with Kalani. I had a weekend with Anya. I took a trip with my daughter Emily and my sister that was just fun and memorable, just resting and having fun. Our youngest daughter, they started coming around that first week. Like every day the girls would be over and the grands were like, what are you doing? And Elise said it very clearly, the church gave you a sabbatical. We did not.
That's why we went out of town a lot.
We're like, okay.
We should have talked to them too, I guess.
Yeah.
No, but you really enjoyed all that. I mean, it was really kind of an intriguing thing, right? I mean, I don't know that I've been on a vacation longer than like a week and a half before ever, right? So it would be a strange deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at what point does something shift, I guess, when you're in environment? Week three.
You know, it shifted a little quicker for me because I was like, you start out in a spot, I can do anything I want. I'll run do that. And then you realize, I should pray about this, you know, because you're just doing anything you want. And I realize, you know, anything you want is not always the best thing, you know, even though it's fun, right? And then you get to that point of realizing, this is my chance to... And so a perfect example is I had Kalani and wanted to hang out with Kalani, and I could not come up with something. And I'm a pretty good planner, as you guys know. I'm thinking out every angle. I'm looking at places to go. And I cannot find anything that's good. And I'm just feeling like I'll just punt and do something. And all of a sudden it comes to my mind, God may have an idea. God's been doing a lot in this whole process for me. Is a lot of, and you guys know me so well, that I take orders and run. I sometimes don't let God develop out the plan with me. I get enough to get going, and then I leave. I take off without him sometimes, and he catches up with me sometimes. This is so different because what it did is this was kind of the starting of a process that went through the whole sabbatical that learning to start bringing God into my decisions of what I decide, simple little things like where I take Kalani. So I said, okay. So I waited for quite a long time. And all of a sudden I started thinking about when I was a little kid, I went to Giant City State Park in Illinois, and I remember how magical it felt at that age. And I thought, I'm going to go to Giant. And so we went, and it was magical. It literally was, I mean, it was another gift. There wasn't anybody there. I couldn't believe it. I thought, it's a beautiful place. So we went around, and so that whole time was a kind of example of, if you wait for me, I will give you more than what you would have come up with. And so a lot of what he's done is in this whole process is kind of getting me to a spot where I'm telling you, God's telling you to take more naps. This is a word from God. I would say as a rule, I could say to most people here, you need to sleep more.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. And I give you permission as a pastor, but not on Sundays to sleep in. All right.
Not on Sunday, that's right.
Unless you have 11 o'clock.
We do not have a 1 p.m. service.
Yes, right. Yeah. So whatever. I'm just saying is we would wake up and we would just feel like God says, go back to sleep. That's a great word from God. And we literally would, there's, you know, it talks about living one day as and let tomorrow care for itself. It's hard to do when you're a pastor because you constantly have this next thing coming, next Sunday coming. And what it did, it showed us how to do that a little bit better because we didn't have something coming. And we were able to live in we were able to be present more than we were before. We were able to say, what's in front of us? God's brought this in front of us. It wasn't what we planned, but there's something here in a little better way than we were able to because we didn't have I talked to someone at the conference, and he's another pastor I respect a lot. We're talking about, he's in the same stage of transitioning and kind of getting older like me, and he says, I have a great staff. I said, I have a better one. You know, I have a great leaders. I have better leaders. And so we're going back and forth. But he says, my leaders are always trying to take weights off of, take work off of me. And I finally said to him, you know, that's so good, but it's not the work, it's the weight. And that was really helpful because that's what he did. He took weight off of me. That just comes with leadership. That's God helps you, but it's having that off of you. You can see some things you couldn't see before.
That's awesome. Yeah, so just kind of wrapping up. I mean, I guess time will tell, right? But what are things that you feel like, I mean, kind of based on what you just said, that you feel like you can carry into the next 3 months, 3 years, whatever? And especially because I think one of the things that I mean, just listening to you, I appreciate so much about you guys all the time. It's like you do let us in on your process a lot of times. And just hearing, okay, these are the things that we struggle with sometimes, but here's what God's talking to us about. We don't know that we're going to be able to do it perfectly. But, yeah, but what are some of those things that you can carry in?
I think, for me, the word God kept giving me was just more of the same. And what that means to me is more of learning how to pace myself better, more rest, more Sabbath. I'm a doer by nature. I'm a server, and I can make lists. I can beat your lists. And until the last 5 years, I could have gotten more done on my list than you. That's just not what he cares about that much. He cares about me being present in situations and having conversations with people to encourage them and spending more time with him. And so for me, more of the same is more of the same stuff he's been talking to me about for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But what I think that means for our future is he's got more for our church, lots more, but it's not going to feel busy and heavy. It's going to come from a place of rest and Sabbath and assurance of who he is and what he wants to do. And then, because we felt that way in a couple situations we'd be in, we'd get done, we think, well, that was easy. You know, kind of praying or ministering or relating to people, we think, that's what I want it to feel like. That's what I want ministry to feel like for all of us, really, for the next 10 years. There's going to be more he does in the kingdom, but it's not going to feel heavy. At least.
Awesome.
I think for me, it's getting back to this place of being a body, and you can't get around that biblically. I mean, it doesn't mean coming to a meeting and being individuals in a meeting. It means literally being a family, which is really complicated, right? But I love that, and I'm realizing that is the thing God has put in us for the sake of having, when the Spirit comes, it takes us to fruit. It takes us to life changes. It is not just experiential. The vineyard is, you know, vineyard, one of our DNAs is we believe the Spirit breaks in with power and does things that are a little crazy sometimes, right? And I'm all for that, right? But I'm always in this tension of when I see people emphasizing Spirit and somehow not emphasizing love and relationship in that combination. Sometimes one can become more attractive than the other. And we're never, you know, but in our church, I feel like that God is showing me more and more that the foundation that God's built is the foundation in which that this more of God, this, and I think Brandon, I listened to his word from last week, talked about family. This is, and I thought, that's on the money. We're family. And when family comes, we can just be honest and real. We don't have to be hyped up. We don't know what we think. We can talk to people about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives a foundation for a non-believer to come in here, or a person who's from a different background, from their religious upbringing, and the Spirit comes and they have a way of accessing it.
Yeah.
Right? But I feel like God's Spirit's going to be coming more. But I think that I'm excited because I have a vision for how that could look within relationship. And because I've been through lots of stuff, right? And I've seen churches that aren't quite like the Corinthian church, where the power's coming and it ain't doing much, you know, in a thing of transformation. So that was and this whole thing of transition, I would say, it's amazing. Our larger Vineyard family communicates a lot of what God's doing in us too. We're really connected as a family, and right now in the Vineyard. Is there's a lot of old people like us, right? And there's a lot of young people like Ryan and Jessica and other people around here that are not old. I know Ryan feels old, but he's not. Yeah.
Getting there.
But
one day at a time.
But lots of people, even who are, you know, just a few years younger than us, we feel like we have to. There's a transition coming. You're going to be. The primary leaders. You're going to be the people setting the agenda. You're going to be taking on things. And we know that transition is coming, and we're super excited about it. But we know there's a part we play to allow that to take place. But we're not sure how that's going to look yet. But we're very excited about it in a way that's going to provide this church to continue on better than before.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys.